You know, Scripture says that God's word will never come back void, and meaning it won't have no impact. It will always have an impact. And that's one of the reasons why we do ministries like Vacation Bible School, is to get God's word into the young lives, into the young hearts of those young kids, so that they will continue to learn and grow. And the last song that they said, don't worry, we're going to find ourselves here this morning, and I'm going to take like 10 minutes. You give me 10 minutes, and then we'll be all done. But basically, we're going to look at that text where that song was probably attached to, the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we are going through a series titled Healthy Happiness. And this morning, I want to talk to us real briefly about the testimony of God's peace. Dr. Walter Cavert, he conducted a survey on worry, which indicated that only 8% of the things people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, they never happened, or they involved matters over which the people had no control anyway. You know, years ago, I was working with a recovery ministry, and they had all these short little cliches that kind of stuck with me, and one of them was to clean up your side of the street, meaning take care of what is in your control and don't worry about the rest of it. Don't go too far down the road. Take care of what is in your control. And yet we live in a world that provides us with many things that can steal our peace, many things that will promote worry, many things that will cause us to be concerned and overly concerned. We can become worried from all kinds of elements which we may or may not have control over. And yet the words of Jesus, they still ring true. He said in John 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I want us to notice the peace that God gives is a gift from God. Understand that right from the get-go. God's peace is a gift. It's a gift of Himself. It's a gift from Him deep within your soul, from Him into your very being. But if you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, look with me to Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 4 through 8. And I want us to remember the author was the Apostle Paul, and when he penned this, he was in Roman prison, and he was chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and so he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And you think about the context of the Apostle Paul, it had to be anything but peaceful. It had to be anything but joyful. And notice with me in verse 4 of the book of Philippians, chapter 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends," or it's above, it's over, it doesn't make any sense in our understanding, "it will guard your hearts, it will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I want us to notice four different things about the testimony of God's peace. And the first is the posture of peace. And in verse 4 and 5, we see the Apostle Paul chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. He's under house arrest in prison, probably just an uncomfortable setting. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." He's saying, "I have chosen to take up this posture of peace," and then he doesn't want us to miss it. So he says, "I will say it again, rejoice." There's an interesting thing that in our world, joy is often determined based upon what happens on the outside of us. But true biblical joy is not an emotion. True biblical joy is a calm delight. It's a confident expectation, and it's acknowledging that God is in control of everything for the believer's good. Joy is a component of the fruit of the Spirit. And so we see the beginning posture of peace. It is positioning our heart so that we will cultivate a sense of joy and rejoice in the Lord, in the sense of what He is able to do, in the sense of what He is capable of. Our view of God will determine how much joy we will have. A.W. Tozer puts it this way. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The history of all people will probably show that no people group has ever risen above its religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure, or its base, as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God." You see, our knowledge of God, how we view God, do we view Him as being the one who hung the stars in orbit, who put the planets in their place? Do we view God who holds the oceans back and in their parameters? Or do we view God as being this small little trite God that is incapable of doing anything? And friends, the posture of peace has to be that we worship a living God who inhabits eternity, and it has to be a posture that says, "My God is above everything. My God is able to do anything." And that should well up peace within our soul. And the posture has to be that of rejoicing, but it also has to, in verse 5, we are told to be big-hearted to all people. And the posture, it not only includes what's in our soul and in our being, but it includes moving outward and how we interact with other people. To be big-hearted, it means to be sweet, reasonable, to be generous, to be good-willing, friendliness, magnanimity and charity toward the faults of others. And yes, I said it that way. It means to have mercy toward the failures of others, to indulge with the failures of others, to be lenient, to be big-hearted, to be moderate, to forbearance with other people, to be graciousness and gentleness. And you're wondering where I got all these things. There's one Greek word, erekes. And it means all those things. There's literally no adequate English translation. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying, you need to be gracious to all those people in this world. And you need to be compassionate and humble. You need to be gracious toward them. And so the posture of peace starts in our soul and our concept of God and our view of what God is capable of and how big He is. But it also has to be a posture toward other people. St. Francis of Assisi said it this way. He said, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled so as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." The second thing that we notice in this text is the source of peace. Verse 6, "Do not be anxious," as the kids just sang, "do not worry, but pray." Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving present, present your request to God." John and Sherry with Lexi May, there's going to be things that are going to make you anxious. That's just life. How you handle that anxiety, those worries, is through prayer, and it's how we handle all the anxieties of life that will throw things at us. And this, my friends, is acknowledging God, the closeness of God. He's a big God above all and transcending all, but He's also a God that yearns to be intimate with you and with me. He yearns to be in that fellowship with you and I. But we also need to know how we are to acknowledge God, and it's through thankful prayer. And I want us to see this exchange, the source of peace. It's almost like we take our worry, we take our anxiety, we take our burdens, and in the exchange, which happens only in prayer, God says, I'll take your worry, I'll take your anxiety, I'll take your burdens, I'll take your pain, and I'm going to replace that with peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that allows the Lord to reign in our heart, our mind, and our soul. The third thing that we notice in this text is the promise of peace. See, God doesn't leave us there. He doesn't just say, hey, here's my peace. And in all reality, we're told that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God owns peace. He is peace. And so when we exchange the worry, the anxieties, and the burdens, God is saying, I'm going to take this, but I'm going to give you myself in replace of that. You see, friends, this is how we're to deal with the things of this world and the upheaval that takes place. But here's the promise. The Philippi city, the city of Philippi, and Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, the Philippians, it was a military city. And there were these military garrisons set up to protect the city. And so in verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts. Your heart being the wellspring of life, your heart being the very seat of who you are as a person, but it's not going to just guard your hearts, it's going to guard your minds in Christ Jesus. To guard from the anxiety, to guard from the doubt, the worry. It's going to guard your inner person, and it's going to do so through the God, Jesus Christ. And lastly, we're told that once we receive this peace, and I'm going to finish with this, that we can know how we can partake in allowing God to protect this peace that he deposits in our soul. In verse 8, we're told, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think and dwell upon these things. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've counseled individuals that they've run down roads that they may or may not ever be on. They allow their minds to go in areas that they may never experience. And I can't tell you how many times, time and time and time and time again, I take these individuals to Philippians 4, verse 8, and I challenge them right here. And there's a series of eight elements, virtues, godly virtues, but I stop after the first one. Because I have found over the years that many of us, if we just focus on what is true, many of us will find that that will solve our problems. What is true? What are you engaged with now? What is happening today? The past is gone. The future is yet to come. That's why we live in the present. And that's another one of those cliches from the ministry from years ago. But it's very true. Live in the present. And if you cross those bridges, deal with them then. But by doing that, it's protecting the peace that God places in your soul. And to not only to think, but to dwell. There's a proverb that says this, as a person thinks, so they are. And many times we get so consumed with the naysaying of the news and the doom and the gloom and the world that we live in. And yes, granted, there's an awful lot of horrible things that take place. But the fact remains that we don't have to buy into that. We can partake in investing in the lives of these youngsters that were up here, and Lexi May, investing in the young lives and being a part of the solution. I'm going to leave you with a story. It's a story of Horatio Spafford. This is a true story. Horatio Spafford was a Chicago businessman. And years ago, he sent his wife and his three daughters to Europe by the ship. They were traveling across the ocean. And yet he remained back in the States, and his intent was to join them a little later. While they're en route to Europe, there was a terrible storm and a shipwreck happened. during which his wife and his three daughters drowned. Mrs. Spafford made it to safety and wired back saying, "All of our daughters have been lost, only I have been saved." He took the next vessel. As they came near the place where his daughters drowned, the skipper of that ship pointed to that place where the other ship had gone down. And it was there, on the deck of that ship, that Horatio Spafford wrote these stirring words. And many of you will recognize the hymn. And he penned, he says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You see, friends, the source of peace begins with the posture of peace. It acknowledges the source of peace, meaning it's that prayer exchange. But the promise that God will protect and guard your heart, he'll guard your mind, and he's going to be the one that's going to guard you. And lastly, the protection. As we ponder the godly virtues of what he has for us, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for these words. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave us a gift of peace, a gift of inner tranquility, the calm delight of joy. And Jesus, we so are blessed that you came, lived a perfect life, and you did it all on our behalf that we might experience these blessedness that only you can give to us. So, Father, may we all be challenged. May we be challenged to accept, to posture ourselves, to receive your peace, to acknowledge you being the source of true peace, to recognize your promise of peace, and to partake in allowing us to partner with you in the protection of the peace that you give. Lord, we're so blessed and thankful that you have given us the opportunity just to rejoice the baptism of Lexi May, and to rejoice with the Vacation Bible School kids. And Jesus, we just pause right now to say thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus our Savior, we pray. Amen.